Praise the Lord. Thank you again for being here. I appreciate it. I know there's a lot to do with spring break and trying to keep youngins busy and all of that. And man, we had a good time. Was it yesterday we took Wyatt turkey hunting? Where's Dalton at? It was yesterday. And anyhow, he got to hear his first birds gobbling, and man, I like that. It was all cool, and we had a good hunt, and had a great time together. But anyhow, loved to spend some time with the grandbabies. So I know that a lot of you want to spend some time with your family as well. Acts chapter number 11. Turn to Acts chapter number 11. As you can imagine, the preacher was overwhelmed. When we found out how many folks was here on Sunday, and we kept it off of social media, we just didn't want it to be about numbers and different things like that. We really did rejoice with what God did, and like I said, I was pessimistic about it and didn't think that I thought I might have set the bar too high when we set the goal for 800. But you proved me wrong on that, man, and I sure appreciate, your involvement in that. It was tremendous, and first week was great. Looking forward to this week, and I ask you to continue to pray, because with spring break, we're running into some issues, so we need all the prayer that we can get coming into this for this second week, and looking forward to what God is going to do in this particular sermon, which will be on the life of Simon the Cyrene. And so we want you to be here for that, all right? If you're in Acts chapter number 11, say amen. Amen. All right, so with Acts chapter, or with what went on this past Sunday, and of course, we have a desire. The desire isn't just to have people come, but the desire is to get them saved, hallelujah, and then to begin to disciple them and give it them to be a part of the church. And that's what the main goal is making disciples. That's what we've been called to do. That's what God left us here to do, all right? And so I got to thinking about that, and with that mindset, what do we need to do as a church? How do we need to function? And I actually entitled this "The Functioning of the Church," and just how should we function now? This is happening. We've seen people get saved. We've seen over 20 get saved. Like I said, I think that we had over 20 get saved in our 11 o'clock service. And I will say this to the crowd that's here, because a lot of y'all come to the 9 o'clock service. We really need help in the 11 o'clock. And a lot of folks come to the 9 o'clock, and man, I know it's convenient. But man, we were overwhelmed with people in the 11 o'clock service that got saved, and we had nobody here to really help out with that. And so let me help you. Let me ask you to pray about it, and maybe come into the 11 o'clock service and helping us out, not just at the beginning, at the end of the thing. And let me encourage you to do that, and pray about doing that. And if you can do that, let us know, because we need to know that we got some help, and where that help is located. But you, if you do come to 11 o'clock already and you're not involved, we'd love to get you involved, because we really did. We were overwhelmed, and we really did need some help. And so anyhow, we'd love to get you involved in that. And it's real simple. Matter of fact, this week we're going to do something with those that are participating in the drama, and hoping to do to help us with the burden that we had this past Sunday with people getting saved. And that's not a burden, just trying to get them ministered to after the service. That's when it come into some trouble, and we'll get all that worked out. But I'm trying to figure out, okay, what do we do next? How do we go about this? And of course, we've seen this in our last year, when we started doing these dramas and started doing these big events, that we get a crowd, and we praise the Lord for that. And then the idea is to close the back door, to keep some of them. And our goal is to keep 25% of those that did attend. And if you've seen our Facebook post, there was a pile of folks, first-time visitors, and I don't know how many cards, I don't remember all the numbers, but of just what, I believe it was over 70 of just what we have cards on. And so that wasn't, you know, that a lot of times people will come and they won't even put in a card or they won't even let you know that they come. So we don't know exactly how many first-time visitors we had, but we do know that it was just from the cards that we do have, that it was over 70. So we praise the Lord for that, all right? But how do we function? What do we do next? What's the steps from here, right? So I started looking at different churches in the Bible. And, of course, you can go through the Bible and you can find all kind of churches. And a lot of the churches in the Bible, they'll have a Jewish theme to them or whatever. But this was a particular church that I wanted to look at tonight that didn't necessarily have that. And this is the church at Antioch. Now, this was Antioch. This is Syrian Antioch. And it's located about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was a Roman province, once again, just as the Roman territory and the Roman territories stretched out into Bithynia, Asia Minor, over to Ephesus. And if you don't, you probably ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But if we were to look on a map and you were to see Israel, we would go north and then around east, which would be above the Mediterranean Sea, all the way around the Mediterranean Sea, from Israel north and then northeast. And so Antioch, Syria, or Syrian Antioch, was located about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It was about 20 miles inland of the Mediterranean Sea. So it wasn't sitting right on the water, but it was situated in that location. But it was a town that was not known for its Jewish population. All right, so let's read a little bit. Starting in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Now, verse number 20, things change. "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." The Bible says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Verse number 22, the Bible says, "Then tidings of these things," so that was the things that were happening here at Antioch, here in this church, "the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was," this talking about Barnabas, "he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And so as we look at this, this is a cool church. Matter of fact, this is a church that we probably ought to pattern ourselves after very much so, all right? Why? Because this church is probably one of the most church or in the Bible, as far as the Bible and what we read as far as churches, one that identifies as close to us as any is this church. And when you go and you study this, I want to give you, I got six things, and I got to get into this or we won't never get through them. But anyhow, I got six things about the functioning of this church. I want you to first notice the area of service in this church. So they were in Antioch. Well, what you need to know about Antioch was not just any old place. As you go and you read and you study, and you won't find this in the Bible, you're going to have to study outside of the Bible in the Roman territories. But if you were to study this out, you would find out that Antioch of Syria was home to over a million people. Over a million people at that time. Now it's in Turkey, and it doesn't have maybe a population of 30,000 people or something of that nature. But back in biblical times and back here, this was a city of nearly 1 million people. And so this was a very large city, but it was a very a pagan city. It was a very defiled city, if you will. It was a city that you would find was very very much morally a compromise. We'll just say it that way, all right? And so as you look at this church, now I'm not telling you that to say that our community is that, all right? So please don't take it that way. But when you read it that way and you understand the area that it was dealing with, this was a very difficult area because it was all Greeks. It was Grecians. Number two, because of its defilement, all right? But I don't know if you notice this, but the Bible tells us that when Barnabas came to it, that it was the grace of God that he noticed in this area. The Bible says that who when he came, verse number 23, and had seen the grace of God. And that phrase stuck out to me. Why? Because you and I live in an area that is difficult. How many of you believe that? How many of you agree with that? Now, if you don't agree with that, then you don't do a whole lot as far as talking to people. Most people in this region of the United States, they feel like they're Christians. Can I get a witness? Matter of fact, you ask anybody if they're a Christian and they'll tell you they're a Christian. They'll tell you no matter what denomination they are, no matter, even the Catholics are claiming to be Christians, all right? And that you'll have to do some study on that and you'll find out that thing has evolved a long way from what Catholics was, all right? But anyhow, as we look at this, as we think about this, it is a very difficult area to manage, a very difficult area to minister to. And so this church was in a location that wasn't the easiest to manage and wasn't the easiest to minister to. It was in a location with people that had gone through some things. Can I get a witness right there? They had been through some things. They had seen some things they probably shouldn't have. They had dealt with some things that other cities and other places had not dealt with because of their moral decline, because of what was going on in their cities. But it was the grace of God that was evident in their lives. Is everybody with me? I'm trying to get a point across right here is that I'm seeing and this is bothering me and I pray that we don't become this. But I told y'all that it's real easy to get into the Christmas, Easter only Christian thing and to have some kind of a annoyance with people that just show up on Christmas and on Easter. And remember, we were trying to tell you, man, be careful. Let's not talk about people that only come on Christmas and on Easter because God loves them. Can I get a witness? And we need to reach them. We want to take this opportunity and we want to reach them. And man, we did a fantastic job of that. But now that Easter is over, everybody's posting stuff like, hey, that church that you went to on Easter, there's a good chance it's going to be open next Sunday. Amen. Is everybody all right? That's like a slap in the face to somebody that came to church. Please don't share that. Is everybody all right? You want to share something, call them back and invite them to come back again. Amen. But how about let's not just tear them down again. Amen. And find another way to humiliate them, right. Harass them. Is everybody all right? I'm having fun. To embarrass them. Amen. To make them feel like, I wish I'd have never gone now. Right. Why are we doing this? The Bible says that it was the grace of God that Barnabas noticed. Why? Because the people that was in that church was the people that were saved, the people that was in that church, the evidence, God's grace was evident in their life. Now I look across our building, I want to go ahead and say something. God's grace is evident in this church. Man, you look across this church and look at the people that we've been able to minister to, and there's churches in our area that can't minister to some of y'all. Hey, there's churches in our area that you would have never walked through the doors of. There's churches in our area that think they got it all together, and they'll never have the impact on their community that you do. I ain't saying the church. I'm saying you as an individual do. Why? Because the grace of God is shown through you. God can look at you. People can look at you and say, man, ain't God good? Ain't God good? You can look, they can talk about your past, but they still have to talk about your present. I need somebody to help me. There's a lot of things you say about my past, but when you look at the present, there's one thing you can't say, and that's he's like he used to be. The grace of God, this is what set this place apart. This is what I loved about this church, was that when Barnabas looked at it, he noticed the grace of God. He seen the grace of God in that place, in an area that was defiled, in an area that was difficult, in an area that most churches wouldn't even attempt to reach people in. They went in there and they preached Jesus, and because they preached Jesus, those that would never walk into a church, those that would never be considered for a Sunday school teacher, those that would never be considered to be a church member, are now saved by the grace of God and a testimony to those in their lives and around them in their community. And so we see the area of service of this church. It was in a very difficult place. We see the assignment that was given here. The assignment was given to Barnabas, but I believe the assignment is also given to us. Now, Barnabas was sent with a mission, and he was sent on a mission to validate that the Greeks were actually getting saved, that this was actually taking place. But the Bible tells us that when he went there and he saw the grace of God, I don't know if you've seen this, it says that he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now check this next phrase out. And much people was added unto the Lord. Much people was added unto the Lord. What's the assignment of this church? Is that much people be added to the Lord. Well, preacher, we gotta do it this way. It's gotta be done this way. It's gotta be done this way. Until we get much people added to the Lord, let's keep our focus on much people added. Is everybody all right? Now, for some, 10 people's too many. All right. But the truth is how many are you willing to settle on going to hell? How many are you willing to settle on going to hell? I'll never forget one of the guys when we were back in the old building, and we were in that little old building, and we'd packed that thing out. And I remember one of the guys came to me, and he's good as gold. I love him to death, but he come up to me and he said, Hey preacher, I'm gonna be honest with you, preacher. I don't like a big church. He said, I'm fine with it just the way it is. I don't think we need to do anything. I don't think we need to build anything. I don't think we need to do anything. And he said, man, I think we're just big enough. You get too big, you get them big churches and this, that, and the other. And I said, all right, this is what I want you to do. I called him by name, and I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to walk out to that door, which was that door under the awning over there. I said, I want you to walk out to that door, and I want you to put up a no vacancy sign. And I want you to let people know that they can't come in. We don't have any room. I want you to let them know they'll have to go to hell. Is that, y'all? I'll never forget. He looked at me and he said, I think we need to build that church, preacher. I said, hey, I'm fine with it. Hey, but I'll never forget. As soon as I told him, I said, listen, I want you to go out there and I want you to put that sign up and I want you to let people know that there ain't no room in here for the church for them and they're going to have to go to hell. I said, you put that sign out there on the door. And he looked at me and he said, I think we need to go ahead and build a church, preacher. Why? Well, how many are we going to settle with, right? The assignment that has been given to us is that much people be added unto the Lord. Man, there were some folks that was excited because the people that they brought to church got saved this past Sunday. And that's a smile you can't wipe off somebody's face. That's tears you can't get back. I need somebody to help me. They was excited because the one that they'd been praying for and the one that they had brought came to the Lord and was added to the Lord.
This is an assignment that is given to us. Yes, we have the assignment not only to add people to the Lord, but also to teach people about Christ. Yes, I understand. We have that responsibility to teach them as well, and we're doing the best we can, but we need to make sure that we keep the mindset that our assignment is to tell people about Jesus. The Bible says up in verse number 20, I believe it was, it says, "And when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." That is what changed this area. And that is what is going to change our area. Amen. We see the area of service. We see the assignment that was given. But everybody look at me. Next, we see the attitude of the members. Amen. Oh, I looked at old Barnabas and I thought about the members. The attitude of the members. Look at this. Go to verse number, verse number 23. The Bible says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God." Everybody help me with these next two words. Glad. Was glad. How you feel about it? How you feel about it? Was there too many people here? Don't answer out loud. This is a rhetorical question. Because y'all will lie in church. Only place y'all won't lie. Hey, the only place that y'all won't or will lie is in the church. I get y'all at the house and ask you the question. You'd be like, "No, there were too many people in the church." But I ask you in front of everybody, it's like, "You lie. Oh, no, it was never enough, preacher. We need 1 million in that church." I notice he was glad. So many church members, because it was an inconvenience, find themselves not happy. Is everybody all right? I had to deal with people Sunday. Our own members that was upset because of this or upset because of that. I need somebody to help me. What are we doing? God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we're trying to do. And all of a sudden we all got problems with, "Well, I ain't got this and I can't do this." And I was having to deal with that before I preached.
Amen.
Everybody all right? See, the attitude of the members of this church, they was glad. He was glad. The Bible says, "And he exhorted them all." I love the name of Barnabas, but the name Barnabas means son of encouragement.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that when he saw what was going on and he seen all these people and the grace of God that was on all of these people, the Bible says that he was glad. And then the Bible says that he exhorted them all. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep going. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Stay faithful. Keep doing what you're doing. This is what Barnabas was doing. This is the attitude that should be in the church. This is the attitude that should be in the church. Barnabas was glad. Barnabas was exhorting others. He was encouraging them to continue on in the faith, to go farther than the other churches, to go farther than anybody else has. He had a message for them. Don't stop. Stay faithful. That's the attitude that should be in every church. I need somebody to help me. It's the attitude that should be in the church. Are you happy about what you've seen last week? Are you encouraging what you've seen last week? I'm looking forward to what God's going to do this week. We probably ain't going to have 900 people here, so y'all are okay. We got in a staff meeting, and I said, "What problems did we have?" And there comes the list. Boom, 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 boom. Well, I mean, come on. When you got 900 people here, come on. There's going to be some things that we ain't thought about. We started working through them things. I started doing that, and I said, "Now look, I'm thinking this coming week we ain't going to have 900, and that's okay." I said, "We ain't going to have the problems that we had, and that's okay. But are we encouraging? Are we glad of what God's doing?"
Amen.
Y'all, I never in my life, I went out I did the sunrise service, and I think Brother Brian told me there was over 70 out there, and then 907 in Sunday morning. I never thought in my life that God would let me in 2024 preaching around Lake Park, Georgia to almost 1,000 people.
Amen.
But here he is, showing out, doing his thing, saying, "Oh, ye a little faith. You should have known I could do it." The attitude of its members. I mean, I encourage you to be great, be glad, to be excited about what's going on. And I want you to notice this, number four, whatever I'm on. The altitude of its leaders. I notice this about Barnabas. Go to the next verse, verse number 24. For he was a good man. Had some character. There's very few people in the Bible that are called a good man. But yet Barnabas was called a good man. He was a man of character. So the altitude of the leaders in this church, they had character. But then I want you to look at their characteristics. Look at this. Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith.
Amen.
You know what kind of leaders need to be around here? Type of leaders that are full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Come on.
Say, preacher, how do you get full of the Holy Ghost? You got to get empty of.
Amen.
Got to be empty of us.
That's right.
To be full of the Holy Ghost. To be full of faith. What does that mean, preacher? He believed that God could do more. God could do greater. God could do. Hey. If we had if you and I had the faith to believe, I told y'all one time years ago, I was doing the vision of the church, and I made this comment, and I'll never forget, I made the comment, and several come and talk to me about it, but I want our community to be built around our church. That was my idea for Calvary Baptist Church. Not that we were a part of the community, but that the community would be built around our church. What does that mean, preacher? That means that people want to move here. Not because Lake Park has an awesome police department that ain't got nothing better to do than pull people over all the time for nothing. Is everybody all right? I haven't been pulled over yet. It's probably coming this week. They're probably watching it right now. But Dalton's been pulled over and got in trouble for something I did to the truck. Lord help, they pulled the stuff out from my truck. Hallelujah. But the altitude of its leaders is that they were full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. I want a church. I believe, I have the faith to believe that God can build a community around Calvary Baptist Church. I'm not discounting any other church in the area. I'm just saying I want this to be a place that people want to move here just so they can go to church here. Because they know, man, we hear this all the time as staff, and I hope you hear it as much as we do, but people will come in here and they'll say, listen, from the time I got out of the car,
yeah.
I felt the Spirit of God
right in
this place. I mean, when I walked in the doors, I felt the Spirit of God in this place. Listen, you know how hard that is to say about a Baptist church?
Amen.
I felt the Spirit of God when I walked in. I want it to be a place that's full of Spirit of God. And when people walk in, it ain't got to be a word from the preacher. Immediately, God starts ministering to them and starts helping them. How's that going to happen? We got the right leaders. Leaders with character. Leader with the characteristics of being full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Then number five, we have the approach of the ministry. How did Barnabas go about this? Well, I hope you caught this, but Barnabas went back and he got Paul And then him and Paul came and they ministered. And the Bible says that they stayed with them for a full year, assembling together with them and teaching them. So how do we go about that? What's the approach of the ministry? How do we go? Well, first off, we need recruits. Right? Barnabas had to go get somebody to come back and help him. Now, I ain't wanting to go get nobody because I believe there's enough bodies.
Amen.
Right here.
Right.
All we got to do is recruit the bodies that are here and get them involved in it.
Right.
So we recruit help, and then we get involved. We get involved. They assembled together. Every time the church met, they assembled together. When they did assemble together, what did they do? They taught. The Bible says they taught them. It says in verse number 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. That's the approach. That's the approach of the ministry. How do we do this? How do we keep growing? How do we keep going? We got to recruit people.
Amen.
That are willing to teach others.
That's right.
Preacher, that's your job. It's your job to teach everybody. I'm doing the best I can.
Amen.
But true discipleship is done from the chairs.
That's right. Come on now.
More than it's done from the pulpit.
That's right.
It's from the people that are willing to involve and get involved in somebody else's life and teach them. They went and lived there for a year and ministered to them. Lastly, I'm done. Because I got to be done in 3 minutes. The accolades from the community. The Bible tells us in verse number 26 at the very end of it, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They wasn't called Baptists. Up until this point, they were called Jews, they were called the Brethren, they were called all these things. But this was this church, the one in a difficult place, the one in a place that was defiled, the one that was a bunch of undeserving Grecians. A bunch of people that had no right to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, but had a firm grasp on the God who hung on the cross for them. Understood the ministry of Jesus.
That's right.
And it was those people. It was them that the community, the world, first called Christians. It literally means Christ ones.
That's right.
It has a meaning, and we've heard it in church before, Christ-like. But the truth is it has more of a meaning of Christ one. In other words, belonging. They said that of the great generals and all, the soldiers that was under them would be known by the name of the general and adding I-A-N-S to the end of that name. Because they were under the direction of that general. I like it. Y'all ain't got to like it. I like it enough for all of us. But these Christians were under the direction of the captain, Christ. They were first called Christians here in this church. Not in Jerusalem. Not where he died for them, Brother Johnny. Not in Bethany, where he hung out with his friends. Not on the Mount of Olives. They were first called Christians, not in Capernaum, the town of Jesus. Not, everybody all right? Not in Israel. Not in Israel. 300 miles north of where he hung and died. They were first called Christians. I wonder, what do they call us? What do they call us? I want a church with the right attitude as far as its members go. A church that's welcoming, and I believe we have that. You'll find, man, our visitors, they ooh and aah about, man, how friendly our church is. Praise God. Thank you. Our leaders, to our leaders and those that are in ministry, when you come here, are you full of the Holy Spirit? I'd like to ask you if you was full of the Holy Ghost every day, all day.
Amen.
But I know better. I've seen some of your Facebook posts. I'm working on it. I am too, Miss Penny. I'm working on it. I was driving today and I was working on it. Now, God, please don't let me get mad while I'm driving. Let me make a public service announcement. When it's raining, you don't have to put your flashers on. And there's three lanes. If you're not doing 90, stay out of my lane. It's over here. It's over this on this side. I don't care that it's raining and you think everybody should slow down. Just get out of my way.
That's right.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey, I'm with you. But when we show up here, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you full of faith? Brother Edwin, what could God do with our care team? Miss Jen, what could God do with our first impressions? Dalton, what could God do with our youth? What could God do with our follow-up? Miss Michelle, Miss Miranda, Brother Matt, what could God do if we had the faith? What could God do if we had the faith? Choir, what could God do through you if we just had the faith? Security team. I'm afraid to even ask. Have been making people disappear. In Jesus' name. What could God do in our church if we all had the faith to believe that anything was possible with God?
Amen.
We walked into this church every service full of the Holy Spirit with gladness in our hearts, exhorting others, encouraging others, ministering through the Word. We too could change our community. Be known as, hear me out, Christians.
That's right.
And not the bad ones. Don't you pray right in your seat. I've done gone 4 minutes over. Lord, help me. Please forgive me. God, I pray in Jesus' name, everyone in here, Lord, to get a hold of what was preached tonight. I don't know that it was good, but this church was good. What an example. And from this church, we can see characteristics that need to be happening in our church, need to be found in our church. God, may we be the type of person that's glad when we see somebody get saved, want to see more saved. May we be the type of people that are encouraging instead of tearing folks down, complaining, murmuring. God, may we be the type of people that get involved. Type of people that come to service full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, believing that God, every time we meet, that you'll be here, and every time you're here, people can be saved. God, I pray that you'd use this church, use this preacher. God, may lives be changed, not because of me, not because of Calvary Baptist Church, but because Jesus was preached here. Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for what is done at Calvary and through Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.